So the passion test formula. Everybody likes formulas, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's nice. I get to do. So you will recognize it as some of the elements of treatment. So the formula is intention, attention, no tension. So what do you think intention is? This is a quiz.
Choice.
Choice. It's about consciously choosing what you want to have in your life, right?
Dedication, too.
Yeah.
Saying, this, I choose this, so I'm going for it.
Right. Go for it. I love
just
that.
Go
it.
For
it. Just do it.
Something like that.
As some product is known to say. And then attention is what you put your focus on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we are very powerful manifestors. When we consciously choose to manifest something, whatever it is, if we put our attention and focus on that, there's no doubt that it will manifest. Right? I mean, that's what this is all about. That's why, actually, this test is so consistent with science of mind. It's just fascinating. And then no tension, release. When you've done everything that you know to do, when you've taken every action that you think you can take, then you just surrender to the process. Your job is to define the intention and place the attention. You don't have to figure out how it's all going to come about, right? You just have to know that it's going to come about and take whatever action you're inspired to take to make that happen. Okay. So here's the secret. Okay, we had a formula. Now I'm going to tell you a little secret. And I use this a lot. Whenever you're faced with a choice, a decision, or an opportunity, choose in favor of your passions. Whenever you're faced with a choice, a decision, or an opportunity, choose in favor of your passions. Now, it's really interesting. I'm not going to go through this with you, but I encourage you to do this at home, because I want to get to the next really good part. You know, sometimes we make vision boards, mm-hmm. right? Or
do that next Sunday.
Okay. Well, then, you know, that would be a perfect time to take these passions and create a vision board for your passions, right? And put them in a place where you can see them and remind yourself of what those passions are. Because when faced with a choice, decision, or an opportunity, you want to choose in favor of your passions. And here's what I know about my own life. If I'm not really conscious, I won't do that. And here's the other thing that I've learned. I will spend 80% of my time doing caca stuff that has no relation to anything that I've written on a paper, right?
Mm-hmm.
And only 20% of the time on the stuff that I say are my passions and is important. So you have to really be conscious and work at flipping that percentage. So that the more that you can consciously choose in favor of what you say you want in your life, the more productive, the better, happier, what's some other words? Exciting, enthusiastic, whatever. Joyful, pleased, yeah, right. You'll be, right? I mean, that's a theory, and I think it probably works.
Probably.
So, there were some folks who interviewed 200 people who had achieved enduring success for over 20 years, and it was a study that was done in 2007. And what they found is that those 200 people always had the habit of choosing in favor of what was important to them. And you see that in a lot of success books and a lot of success principles. You know, people are very focused and they make those choices. So what I want you to do now, I encourage you to make passion cards, for example. You know, take little 3x5 cards and write your passions on them. And where do you think you might put them? Right. Because you just want to keep reminding yourself of what you said was important, because we get so distracted during the day. There are so many distractions that can pull us away from that. But you just want to have a sense, oh, yeah, I remember now. Right? And the more you do that, the more you'll train your mind so that it becomes automatic. Okay. So at the bottom of your sheet, let me ask a question. When you went through the test, were there any insights or was there anything surprising that people learned from those, going through the test?
Yes.
Yes, Catherine.
Things that I thought were going to be higher on the list were bottom.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Because if I'd done the shift thing, it would have been higher.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Good. Did anybody come up with the top five in exactly the order they put them in? So at the bottom of that sheet, you'll see numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And it's about scoring your passions. So what I want you to do is on a scale of 1 to 10, 0 being, or 1 being, I'm not doing it all, not even in my consciousness, to 10 being, I am living it full out. And there is no issue, this is my passion, I do it every day, I live it, breathe it, love it, da-da-da. I want you to score your passions. Just whatever number pops in your head.
You just have to give a number.
Yeah, just a number. Down below, on a scale of 1 to 10. 1 being not doing it at all, not in my consciousness, 10 being living full out. Living, breathing. So anybody score high in their passions?
No.
No? No one? Okay. So who had scored a passion 8 to 10? Cool. What was that for you, Jeannie?
Actually, 4 out of my 5 scored 8 to 10.
Wow. Good. Good. Anyone else?
I have 1.
Okay.
So 4 out of 5.
Judy's an overachiever. So we have 2 overachievers in the room so far.
Yes.
Anybody score in the bottom, you know, 1 to 3, 1 to 4? And of you who scored in the 1 to 4 range, do any of you believe that you're actually putting attention on any of those things?
No.
Not much. No. Actually, yeah, a little.
So obviously, if you want to have more of that in your life, that's where you have to put your attention and focus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so now we're going to come to the fun part. This is where you get to incorporate all that stuff you were worried about you weren't going to get to do. This is where you get to do it. So we call these markers. And I'll tell you a quick story to illustrate it. And then we'll go from there. So there is this man, Pankaj Narang, Ayurvedic doctor. Everybody know what Ayurvedic is?
Yeah.
Ayurvedic doctor. And he studied for several years with his Ayurvedic master. Ayurvedic, it's a type of healing medicine that was started in India, I believe, and has grown throughout the world.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And so his master said to him, you know, what's the number one most important thing to you in your life? And he said, I want to be the most renowned Ayurvedic physician in the world. Great. Write it down. So what else do you want? And he said, well, I want to have treated 100,000 patients and taken the pulse of the Dalai Lama, and I want to have clinics all over the world. Great, write it down. Right? And so, I'm cutting the story short, but the long story short about this is that he was very specific in what he wanted. And long and behold, guess what? He has 14 clinics around the world. He has taken the pulse of the Dalai Lama. Mother Teresa actually thanked him for his work that he has done throughout the world. And so all of these things came true. And it's all because he defined them. He wrote them down. So David, like we were talking about, what is health, right? You're now going to have an opportunity to define what these passions mean to you. So for example, you know, one of my passions was to be, you know, I'm always more careful when I know there's a recording. Thin, trim, tanned, and toned. Right? That was one of my passions. I wanted to be thin, trim, tanned, and toned. course, I just went and had, you know, this chemical peel, and I'm not supposed to be in the sun, but you know. And so what does that mean? Well, it means that, you know, I exercise regularly. It means that I eat healthy. It means that, you know, I lose a certain number of pounds, you know, whatever it is. And so it's an opportunity to define specifically what that looks like. So I think on, I don't have a copy of the, let me borrow this for just a second. On the third page, I want you to take your number one passion and write it on number one. And you could do, obviously, number two goes on number two and three goes on number three. But what I want you to do, because I want to be sure to honor your time here, is I want you to create five markers for your number one passion. And what that means is, let me talk a little bit about what it is. Markers are not goals. They're not necessarily measurable goals that you know, so I have a coaching business. So if I increase my clients by, you know, 50% or something like that, you know, I will have reached a goal. That's not what this is about. Markers are more about the feeling of it. And so how do you know, how will you know when you are living that passion? How will you know when you're living that passion? So one of mine, when I was when I had sold my house and didn't have a place to live, was to find a home, you know, that was surrounded by nature and da da da. And so I had written down that I wanted, you know, I wanted it to be in nature, I wanted it to be on the water, I wanted it to have enough bedrooms so that I could have my family and friends come and visit. I wanted it to be cozy. I wanted it to have a fireplace. You know, I went through and described. And so it's really about the feeling of it. How will you know when you're living that passion? How will you know that? What does it feel like to you? You know, I have a convertible, and one of the things that I say about it is that it's a spiritual experience to drive that car on a beautiful day with the top down. Right? That's a marker. It's not a goal, right? Goal might be to have the car, but the marker is the feeling behind it. Do you understand? So what I want you to do is, just for the next few minutes, take some time and think about what that means to you. What does it mean to you to be healthy? You know, what does it mean to be spiritually grounded? What does it mean, whatever your passions are? I want you to define them even more deeply than you have here. Okay? And then if you have any questions, just ask me. I'll walk around and...
So we're repeating in the line what passion is.
Right.
And underneath them are the markers.
Are the markers, right. So this is the place where everything that didn't get selected probably fits in because it's related to something else, mm-hmm. right? So this is how you bring it all together.
Can I just make a
yeah.
question? When you say the evidence, can that be anything that I see, feel, touch, smell,
yeah.
whatever it was,
sure.
is an indicator to me that it's happening?
Yeah. So these are simply milestones, right? They're things for you to focus your attention on.
And
yeah, you're
doing it. You're there.
There was one woman that was in one of the classes and wanted to start a sewing business. And her markers were, you know, to start a sewing business and, you know, have all the equipment that she needed and da-da-da. And I was like, yeah, but, you know, how does it feel? I mean, how does it feel when somebody walks in the door and says, can you help me, you know, tailor this skirt? Or can you help me? What is that feeling behind it? You know, I help people, you know, make their clothes fit well so that they feel great going outside in public. You know, whatever it is. Has anybody done one they want to use as an example?
The first one, right?
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Well, I just thought we'd stop and let somebody just so we see where everybody's going. So, Gail, you want to, what was your passion and then what are some of your markers?
Well, number one passion was knowing who I am. And the markers is, and this is just what I'm doing.
Uh-huh.
I know and understand that I am the energy and life of the universe. I understand that I am what I know God to be, which is wisdom, love, light, peace, abundance,
mm-hmm.
and that's where I go.
Good. So when you're feeling peaceful and loving and light, then you'll know that that's...
Yes, I am.
Yeah. And do as many as you can do in the time that we have right now. Whatever it is, right? But really, think about it. Wouldn't you just love every day, take a little cat nap, and have warm milk and cookies? Does life get any better than that?
I'm noticing it.
So how did that feel?
Interesting.
Yeah?
Yeah. It did bring in some of the things I didn't choose on the first list.
Yeah.
So some of the things you don't choose on the first list end up to be those descriptors or those definers, if you will. So you don't really ever lose anything. It's just how you decide to manifest them or create them for yourself. So, you know, the key is to take the passion test every 6 months. If you have the book, it walks you through how to do that. Or after, if you have a life event, a significant life event, at a point in time when you're in a position to take it, some life events you don't recover from immediately, then, you know, take it. you know, then take it, because what you find is that, and especially after a life event, your priorities change, your focus changes. And so you want to honor and acknowledge that, and I think it's healthy to do that. So, you know, it is a process. Your passions won't always be the same. There are some of my passions that have stayed the same over time, but some that have changed. And usually it's because I've achieved them, or they're so much a part of who I am now that I don't feel like I have to identify them, you know, separately anymore. So, you know, it's a good process to follow through. If you really, yeah.
I had a question, because you were talking earlier about finding your life purpose, but yet when I listen to you talk about taking the test every 6 months and perhaps after a significant life event, it seems to imply that your life purpose keeps changing.
Well, it could, but I think, you know, our life purpose is really wrapped up in who we are. You know, it's those skills and talents and that knowledge and experience that we uniquely bring to the world. And so I don't know that your life purpose changes, but that you as a person may change, or you may have gained greater knowledge in a particular area, or an issue or something that has been happening is no longer that issue. So, you know, it's just an evolution. And I think it's really about keeping in touch with what's important to you at the time. What's important to you? In terms of your personal destiny, what I have found, and let me just say, there's a passion test for business. There's a passion test for kids and teens. The passion test for business is a little different in that we give the test to employees, but we also help the business identify what their unique contribution is to the world. And that's what we're here to do. What is our unique contribution? And that's the core of who we are. And frankly, I don't think that changes. I mean, one of your passions is to be spiritually grounded and to bring your light into the world, you will always want to be spiritually grounded and bring your light into the world. The question becomes, how do you do that?
Right?
And that may change over time, but I'm here to tell you that I think one of the comments that I make to people is, you know, you're only one thought away from $1 gazillion. Right? Mm-hmm. Truthfully. I mean, look at the guy who made the pet rock.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Made a freaking fortune on rocks. imbibed them with some peaceful whatever. You know, seriously? So if a guy can make $1 gazillion on a pet rock, I'm here to tell you folks, all of us in this room can make $1 gazillion, and it's right here. But it's bringing who we are. You know, it's bringing the best of who we are. And really, at the end of the day, you know, it's about you don't get to go out with everything that you have, right? You're going out on your own. And so it's about your relationships, and it's about giving and to people, and to bring that best of who you are. And the question and the challenge always is, what's the way to do that? Look, I'm 58 years old. I just figured it out for me now, right? In this course that I'm doing, putting it all together in a way, that was never, ever, ever, ever in my consciousness. So, don't know what the trigger is that makes it all come together. But I do know that if we focus and we have the intention of figuring that out, we will, because we're smart and we're powerful and we are God in expression. So there's nothing that we can't do. Nothing. If you place your intention on it, you consciously choose, you focus on it, and then you let magic happen. Right? So yeah, I think Judy, the key is, what are those things that are uniquely you that you can bring to the world? It's like I said earlier, we're all here on the planet right now because we have something to give.
Right.
So what is it that we want to bring? What are we going to bring? What do we want to give to the world? And it's not that you have to do it in a big way. I used to think, and I'm sure some of you have heard this story, I used to think you had to do it in a big way, like be a politician or an actor or sports figures, maybe not so much.
Some.
But that you had to be in front of large groups of people to make a huge difference. The truth is, I don't believe that anymore. Some of you have heard this story, but I was on a plane flying from Abu Dhabi, UAE, to Muscat, Oman. And I was sitting in an aisle seat, and one of my guys was in an aisle seat in front of me. And these two women in burqas, mother and daughter, came and sat in the aisle with the guy. And it was clear this woman did not want to sit with him, right? I mean, if there hadn't been an armrest here, she'd have been in her daughter's lap. And she couldn't get the attention of the attendants. So I tapped my guy on the shoulder and I said, switch seats with me. So we switched seats, and the woman took my hand and put her other hand over her heart as a way to thank me, because I don't speak Arabic and she doesn't speak English. And I don't know if you've been to the Middle East a lot, but they hold hands and kiss a lot. So I didn't grab my hand back right away. I let her hold it until she was ready to take it back, hers out back. So, flight goes on. And here come the drinks. Well, she lifts her veil, and there are these huge beads of sweat pouring down her face. I'm like, oh. So I reach up, turn on her air, direct it at her, and then I turn on my air and direct it at her. And so again, she takes my hand, puts her hand over her heart, but this time she has tears in her eyes. And the epiphany that I had at that moment was that Arab woman will always say that this American was kind to her. Mm-hmm. And that's how you change the world. So I don't think it's necessarily what it is you do for a living. I think it's how you are being in the world. And it's all about treating people with kindness and respect. And that's as huge a contribution as, writing Chicken Soup for the Soul or whatever. Right? I mean, we all have ways to contribute. And that's what this is about. So there is a passion test for business. If that's something that you think you're interested in, I am the executive director of the Kids and Teens program, and we're doing some pretty interesting stuff in the state of Georgia, looking at whether or not when kids understand what's important to them, are they less likely to be bullied, or are they less likely to become a bully? When they can learn how to stand in their own power and make choices that benefit them and what's important to them. So there are lots of cool things going on. If you're interested in any of them, I'm happy to talk with you about it. There is a certification program. If you want to go, you can go and make money and do this. But the benefit of the certification program, I think, is really in working through a lot of your own personal issues, but also feeling that love and support and whatever in the meantime. So I'm happy to talk to you about that. And I think that is about that. About it. Does anybody have any questions?
I do. The purpose of life is joy. I learned that through Abraham. It's just the bottom line. And as I went through all of everything, it was all about that. So what else is there? I don't know. It's just as simple as that. Maybe I'm oversimplifying it, but it's like, okay, I want to know more.
So how do you define joy?
Joy is what feels good. Joy is what motivates. Joy is what pushes you forward. Joy is the energy. It's the heartbeat of the planet, of the sun, of the universe. Joy is the very purpose of life. It's so intrinsic with everything that moves and lives and has life that it's inseparable from it. So I guess if I was to have a question is, okay, since that's true, it almost says really nothing else matters. You know, you can be unhealthy and be joyous. You can mm-hmm. be without money and be joyous, or not feel loved. You know, I don't know if that could be true, not feel loved and be joyous, but I suppose you can put joy in front of everything on this and come up with like the shortcut to it all.
Well, of course, we all want to be joyous and loving and those kinds of things. I don't think all of us always are. But we aspire to do that, certainly.
Yeah, so whatever brings that.
But we're here living on the planet, right? And that brings with it a certain amount of personal responsibility and accountability. And so if you're going to be here as joy in expression, what does that look like to you? What does that feel like to you? How do you bring that joy and expression that is David to the world? How do you bring that to the world? That's what this is about.
I see. The delivery of it. You were feeling the joy. You couldn't help but to express it. And so you couldn't hold it back if you tried.
But what are your unique skills and talents, right? Because sometimes I think our unique skills and talents are so innate to us that we don't even see them in ourselves. Sometimes, if somebody comes up to you and says, and they do this all the time if you take any of these career courses or whatever, you know, what are your skills and talents? And you'll go through and say, well, you know, I'm good in accounting, and I get along well with people, and da-da-da. But the truth is, you know, you may be the best videographer on the planet, but you don't even recognize it because you do it so often and it's so much a part of your nature that it's not the first thing that comes into your mind. Now somebody else will tell you that because they see it in you, but sometimes you don't always see your gifts in yourself, right? That's why it's nice to have other people participate with you in these kinds of things, because they'll see things that you might not always pick up on.
Oh yeah, excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, bring joy to the world, huge. Question is, how do you want to do that? And how do you do that every day?
Right. Finding the keys.
What does it look like to you? What does it feel like to you? Who are you bringing joy to?
And is it the same to bring joy to yourself and to bring joy to us?
Well, if you're not joyous yourself, how could you bring it to anybody? The joy is number one, your own joy, you know. Take the mask that comes down from the airplane, you know, for the oxygen first before you can give it to anyone else. Mm-hmm. Or else you're not unable to. But I guess the question that remains is that it's all about finding the key to what opens that up automatically, easily, without any resistance whatsoever. And being aware of it. What opens that? You know, where are your passion points? And this test does a good job of identifying those points.
So if it brought me joy, yeah. I would call it my passion. Because it brought me joy.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's about clarity. I mean, part of it is how is clarity. You know, being clear on what your passions are, choosing in favor of them, mm-hmm. being committed to actually doing taking what actions you are inspired to take in order to achieve or manifest them, right? So commitment is a huge part of it. Staying open. Because the way that we look at something, the way we want to create something, may not be what God has in store for us, right? It may come out of left field. I mean, I'll be honest, you know, four deaths in 2 years of my entire, you know, of my family, that comes out of left field. I mean, you expect your parents, you don't expect your son. So, so you have to stay open and receptive to those signs or those guideposts or to people who come into your life for no apparent reason, but there is a reason. Or a song that you hear on the radio or whatever it is, right? I ask, when I do my treatments, I ask God, tell Spirit. I want unmistakable, neon, flashing, blinking, can't be missed signs. So recently I had a conversation with God and it went like this. Okay, well, I still euphemistically use the he word sometimes. So, okay, buddy, here's the deal. This was my conversation with God. Okay, buddy, here's the deal. My life has sucked for 2 years. Let's be honest. It has just sucked. I wasn't going to say that word before, but I am now. It has sucked for 2 years. You have two more weeks to 31 December. If you're going to lay anything else on me, do it now in 2 weeks. I'm as low as I can go. Can't get any worse, right? 2 weeks, you got 2 weeks. Because come 1 January, I ain't having none of it. Not any. That was my treatment a couple of weeks ago. So, you know, and that's my belief. I think 2012 is going to be in the positive beyond what 2010-11 were in the negative. So far beyond what 2010 were in the Yay. Negative. Yeah, that's my...
Why'd you wait till January?
You know, there's something...
2 weeks.
There's something about January 1st that's always been magical for me. All sorts of good things come to me in January. You know, I reflect back on the previous year, what worked, what didn't work. I set my goals for the following year. This is what I'm going to do. You know?
So where would you put commitment? Would you put commitment in intention or attention?
I think commitment is in attention. When you've taken all the actions that you know to take, when you've done everything that you know to do, at that, you know, you're being committed at that point to manifesting your intention. So that's where I think the commitment comes in. And then being open to what appears.
So choice is intention.
Mm-hmm. You're choosing.
Okay.
You're choosing what you consciously want.
All right.
Consciously
then you're becoming committed. That's where you put in your attention. Your focus is on. Okay.
Yeah. And then you know, there's always something to be said for being persistent.
Like Janet was.
Yeah. Right. Like Janet was. Right. Persistence pays off. Right. You just dog them till you wear them out and they give in. Just kidding. But. You know, persistence, I mean, you know, all good things come to those who are persistent and stay the course and, you know, continuously choosing and taking actions to move you, you know, one step at a time closer to your goal. And that's the other thing, you know, even little baby steps get you there, right? This isn't a race.
And in the absence of alignment, the pure rocket of desire will get you there also. Something that I... came up with that experience.
The rocket of desire.
Yeah, if you have your walking, if you have rockets of desire such that nothing will hold them down, there's just like nothing else going on, and you're not aligned with it at the time, just keep that rocket of desire going. Eventually, it'll break down. You know, eventually, you'll overcome it. I don't know how much of the teachings that is, but that's been my experience.
Well, the rocket of desire, the desire is your passion.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So if you're really passionate about something, you want to manifest it. You want to make it happen.
But the alignment part, you know, nothing really moves until you get aligned. When you take your foot off the brake pedal and, you know, you allow some movement to take place. But if you have enough powerful of an engine, eventually that brake will let go. So that's kind of like where it is.
the, I forget the actual verse number, but there's the proverb that says, when you declare your intention, providence moves. Mm-hmm. I absolutely believe that.
Yeah.
When you declare your intention, providence moves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's what takes your foot off the brake pedal. That heavy foot on the brake pedal is just what has to be overcome. And the only thing that can do that when you're insisting on, you know, stopping yourself is just keeping your eye on the ball.
It's about faith.
And faith and trust, yeah.
Right? Faith and trust. I know for me with money, you know, I always say, oh my gosh, you know, I don't have enough money. How am I going to do this? The truth is, I've always had enough money. I've never been without money. Ever. So why do I worry about it anyway? But you have to have faith and trust that it's going to be okay. You are going to be okay. You are okay. You are okay. Right? I really want to thank you.
I should take a deep breath.
Deep breath.
I have a really practical question. Do the books come with a class or are they separate?
No, they're separate.
Okay.
Yeah. They're $15.
Okay.
And this course that I put together, by the way, I'm thinking about teaching it to adults as the first step. So if you're interested in turning any of your passions into a business, since that's what I'm teaching is business, and I basically do consulting for small emerging technology companies, but, you know, business is business. If you're interested in that, let me know, because I want to run through all the modules before I actually sort of lock it into video, so to speak. So. Okay. Thank you.
Guinea pigs? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, paying guinea pigs. So, you know, I really want to thank Connie for inviting me, and thank you all for being here today. I hope there was some value that you got out of it.
Yes.
And there is an evaluation form on the back of those stapled papers. If you would be so kind as to fill those out, I would really appreciate it. And if there are any questions you have, if there's any follow-up that you would like to do, please let me know. I'm happy to do that for you. Okay?
Thank you
so much.